Does anybody have a match and want to come up and light our candles? Whatever happened to the age when people carried matches? Do you remember everybody had a match? I guess that was back before the Surgeon General's warnings about smoking, right? We're glad you're here. We have plenty of light in the room. It is the second Sunday of Easter. We continue to celebrate the resurrection, not only during the Easter season, but every day. And we are glad that you are here. We especially welcome those who are guests with us, and we have some special guests that I know of, Jim and Deb Cross, who are right here seated next to Jim's sister, Liz, and I know them because Jim was my deacon chair, the deacon chair at Oxford Baptist Church, where I last served as interim, and we found camaraderie around a team called Wake Forest Demon Deacons, and we've enjoyed that. And Deb is also a great fan as well. We're glad that all of you are here. If you are here and are visiting with us, especially for the first time, if you would find in your pew pockets the little visitor's information card, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate so that we might know of your presence with us. And if you are new in our community, we would especially invite you to consider membership here and making this your place, your home for mission and ministry. As God leads you, we pray you would respond during our hymn of commitment at the end conclusion of this service. We also want to remember that a number of us are worshiping at another place, and so we have a few vacant pews, but Alec French and our Baptist Student Union are at a beautiful spot in Blowing Rock. I hear they were around the campfire last night and having a wonderful time together as they were on spring spiritual retreat. And so keep them in mind, and Alec and others who share in the leadership, our college team. Some of you are members of that, and we certainly want to pray for them. Remember those who are grieving. A number in our family have lost loved ones. We just got the word that Dr. Janie Brown's mother-in-law passed away, and I understand that the funeral will be in Ashboro at Pew Funeral Home tomorrow at 4. If that is incorrect, please. It's this afternoon. Okay, we have had two different dates. It is this afternoon. Thank you for correcting that. Would you bow with me for our invocation? Oh, Lord, on this beautiful Sunday, another Easter Sunday, another Resurrection Sunday, we come to celebrate the hope that this and each new day brings. And we come to affirm that you are risen. Jesus is risen indeed. May our worship find your presence, which walks through the walls of our obstinance and sin, as surely as you walk through the walls of that upper room to be present with those fearful early disciples. Come now, O Lord, we invoke you, to be the resurrected presence for us too, as we listen to your words and welcome your spirit in our worship, as we welcome you to fellowship with us around the table and in our service and mission to the least of these. We pray these things in the name of the resurrected Christ, as Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning. Please stand for our hymn of praise. It's number 407 in your hymnal. The words will also be on the screen. Because he lives. Please stand. For you, Vacation Bible School.
Join the zoo crew. Zoo crew.
You're going to have to feed the alligators today. Hopefully you're a little faster than I was.
Oh, hey. And when you're done with that, it's your turn to clean out the elephant pen.
But, the cobras are loose. Run! Save yourself! We're all going to die!
Jeff! It's for VBS. You know, our VBS.
VBS?
Vacation Bible School is coming. It will start Monday, June 16th, and finish on Thursday, June 19th. The theme is Weird Animals, and the focus is on how everyone is unique and that Jesus loves them. So sweet. All of the material, the scriptures, the Bible studies, the games, and the music are excellent. So it will be a week of a lot of fun for the kids, but also for the volunteers. So, adults, youth, and families, please prayerfully consider joining us for this week. We cannot do Vacation Bible School well without the help of church volunteers. We need you. And there are so many ways that you can join us. In your bulletin, you have an insert. It's purple. And there is a list of all the possible areas that you can join the zoo crew. You can help with music, crafts, games. You can take pictures, create a slideshow, the snack and supper, Bible stories, preschool decorations, registration, and more. We need a lot of helpers. You can sign up by placing this sheet in the offering plate. You can call the church office. You can email us. Or you can even sign up. It says zoo crew on a piece of paper outside of my office. So pray about this. The zoo crew needs you. If you have any questions, see me, Christy Ruauer, Dreema Howard, or Amy Harrison. Let's sing. Please stand for our offertory hymn. It's number 139 in your hymnal, At the Cross.
At the cross.
As we come to our time of offertory, I want to remind our children today is a children's church Sunday. So immediately following the offertory prayer, you can meet Phil and Lisa Thompson back at the back to assist with children's church today. As you come to the time of offering, you've already been given an opportunity this morning to a way that you can serve in this body and in our community through VBS. I hope you'll prayerfully consider that. You can drop those in the offering plate as the offering plate comes by this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us, and one of the best blessings is able to come together as a family to worship on Sunday mornings. We thank you for your presence with us this day, and we ask that you challenge us and strive to make us a better follower for you. Father God, as we come to this time of offering, as we return a portions of the gifts that you give us, we just ask that you continue to use those to further your kingdom in this place, in this community, and in this world. We give them with a whole heart and a grateful heart. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. This morning and this week, our Prayer Revolution focus is our Girls in Action program here at First Baptist Elon, a ministry that has existed for decades in this church community and a ministry that has changed so many lives growing towards God. And I just want to thank our leaders that meet with our girls on Sunday nights, Liz and Susan and Amy. Thank you for your leadership, your guidance, and your wisdom with this group. The impact that you have on these young girls' lives is beyond description. And I want you to pray for this ministry. I want you to pray that we continue to guide our girls through our Girls in Action program on Sunday evenings to know who a missionary is and know how each of them have been called to serve God in whatever way God has blessed them with. Our Girls in Action needs our prayers. And this morning and this week, I ask that you lift them up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I just lift up this ministry here at First Baptist Elon, our Girls in Action, our GAs. I'm thankful for their dedication to missions throughout the year, the ways that they seek to empower our community here at First Baptist Elon to reach out to those in need, to learn about missionaries around the world, and most importantly, to learn about what it means to be called by God. Father, I lift up our GA leaders to you. I thank you for their dedication, their service, and their sacrifice. And I thank you for the model that they are showing our young girls about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Father, I just lift up this ministry to you in the days ahead as we seek to empower the young girls in our Christian community, not just here at First Baptist Elon, in our community of Elon. May they be drawn to this ministry and opportunity to learn about who you are and what you've done for them. Father God, I continue to lift up this congregation and their willingness to nurture our young children from a very young age. Thank you for their dedication, their prayerful support, and may they continue to do so for the days and the weeks and months and years to come. We place our GAs in your hands this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Our gospel lesson is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hand and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. May God add understanding to the reading of our lesson. Now, a few weeks ago, I had a sermon that basically said a sermon in 8 words. Some of you remember that. And some of you remember that those 8 words took at least 25 minutes, right? You remember that? Well, we only have 4 words today, the 4 words of Easter. So you can just divide that by half and relax, okay? What was one of those words? What words stuck out in your mind? Which words stuck out and informed you? Did you hear the word peace? Several times. The word is shalom. When we were visiting in Israel, we knew one word, shalom. And sometimes you say that word, and then all of a sudden you hear a flood of language and questions coming at you in Hebrew, and you realize you're really lost when all you could do is say one word. I had a friend in Ecuador. Actually, they were with a tour group that came, actually a mission group, I believe, and they could speak a few words, but they realized they got into trouble when they said gracias or como está, because they couldn't understand the responses and the questions that came. And so one missionary friend told the tour leader just to say this sentence. He said, just say, no fumo español, which means I don't smoke Spanish. And they would know immediately that you did not know the language. They understood shalom. The disciples, they were locked in that room. I assume it to be an upper room. The gospel just says locked in the house. They were there. They were having what we call a lock-in. David knows all about lock-ins as he's led the youth. When I was a youth minister, I did a few lock-ins. I decided a lock-in was really the Baptist definition of the word purgatory. Those of you who have done that, oh, you know that. But there were some good things about that. We learned a lot, even though some of the youth became a little bit hard to deal with, and some of the elite ministers become hard to deal with, too, about 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning when we haven't had any sleep. And I can imagine those disciples in that room were hard to deal with, too. They had been sleepless, perhaps, for several nights and days. And they were there wondering what all was going to occur. Were they going to be the next to be crucified? Andrew may have said, maybe we should never have believed at all. Look where this has gotten us. And if he were the Son of God, would he not have gotten himself off the cross? Or maybe Thomas, who was absent and alone, was dealing with his disappointment and a grief. Sometimes when we grieve, some of us who are more introverted than others have to be by ourselves. And some have to be with other people. So Thomas was absent. Was he doubting his faith? Was he doubting Jesus? Was he doubting the resurrection promise? They sat there together in grief and in regret, second guessing. Monday morning quarterbacking, playing the what if game. Do you ever play the what if game? Well, if only. And that's one of the stages of grief as well. If only I had done this. Or what if I had done something else differently? Or what if he or she had done something else? The what if game is a subtle but natural temptation in times of grief and crisis. And it will destroy our soul and our spirit if we let it. The what if game grabs our imagination and our worst fears. Some of you remember reading Macbeth, and Macbeth is the one who stated that present fears are no more than horrible imaginings. Present fears are horrible imaginings, and that is true much of our time. We can play that what-if game. Our kids, back in the fifth grade in Quito, Ecuador, were in school, and they had been having riots and all kinds of strikes. There was a transportation strike. And the bus drivers didn't want anyone else on the highway, so it would scatter tacks on the highway. And if a taxi was out, they could turn the taxi over and perhaps set it on fire. And under all of this threat, the missionary school continued to meet and to teach the children. And one fifth grade teacher who was very wise said, I want all of you to make a poster. And I want the poster to be entitled, What If? And write all your what ifs down or draw pictures of them. And we went in to see at an open house the what ifs as they wrote that on their poster. One child said, what if my hair turns green? Well, that's not so unusual today. Some people like that. What if gravity gives way and I go spinning off in space? What if my brains come out my ears? Remember, these are fifth graders. What if my parents die? What if I fail this class? From the sublime to the ridiculous, imaginations were unbridled and all kinds of fears were expressed in those posters. And so the imagination of these disciples began to run rampant. In times of fear and crisis, in times of difficulty, in times of life's transitions, when churches are in transitions, we begin to feel anxious. My first pastorate in Virginia, I was just out of seminary, and I was delighted that someone had called to come and to talk with me and to counsel about her particular problems. She was the president of an anonymous group. It was called Worriers Anonymous. And as we said in the study, I came to realize that her problem and the reason she came to me for advice was because the attendance was falling off of Worriers Anonymous. Now think about that for a minute. The attendance wasn't good. Well, I ask, perhaps it could be that you've done a good job and they're no longer worrying and they don't need the support as they did before. The locked-in disciples were fearful, filled with doubt, and so they hear four important words. The first one I've mentioned, shalom. Actually, it's a plural form, peace to you. One of my preacher friends translates that shalom y'all, shalom y'all. The word shalom is not just the word for peace, but it's a word that implies a sense of wholeness, a sense of security, a sense of salvation, a sense that no harm will ultimately come to you because you are in the presence and love of an eternal God. Peace, shalom. It's the word for a couple whose marriage has become no more than a power struggle or a place where they check in after work or activities. It's a word, shalom, for a church divided by groups who are insisting only on their own way. It's a word for nations battling and at war, failing to dialogue and to seek understanding of differences. It's a word for denominations which writhe in pain and polity conflict when the world needs a word of peace and goodwill. It's a word for people who feel at times hopeless and failures. And that is what the word of Jesus did for the disciples in their fear and anxiety, in their what-ifs. But he shares some other words. He doesn't stay content with just the peace that's going to be there. He asks them to do something. And what is it that he asked them to do? To go. As my Father sent me, what does he do? So send I you. So send I you. And so if the Easter event has assured us and given us peace and renewed us and energized us, it ought to fill our lives with purpose. The church ought to be out on mission. I'm glad that we have Laura and Carson out on mission for us, the missionaries we sponsor in Japan. But we know also that our calling is to do what? To go out wherever we are, at work, at school, as Alec and the Baptist Student Union are on retreat, they're not just finding peace for themselves, but looking at ways to share that peace with others this morning. To go, to be sent. There was an old song in the 1950s. I don't remember it because I wasn't born until the 70s, but it was by the McGuire sisters called You Send Me. Anybody old enough to remember that? You Send Me? God never gives us peace just to bask in and relax, but he sends us. And as that love that the McGuire sisters sang about sent her or them to the places that love sends us, so God sends us also to where God needs us. Abraham Maslow talks about what it means to be self-actualized, and he says to be self-actualized, to really fulfill our potential as human beings, we need to have three things in our lives. One is the realization that we are loved. that we are loved, and that we belong, that we are accepted. And the second one is that we need to express love to others and accept them and to love them. And the third one is that we are to be at work and to be useful. To love, to be loved, and to be useful. Essentially, that's what Jesus is saying. With this peace, you are loved. Love one another and go out, be useful. In the renewal of a church, a lot of things are necessary, but those three things are also necessary for a church, for First Baptist Church of Elon. To be able to accept and love, and that's embodied in the very mission statement that you see every week on this bulletin. God is calling us to be a church that is compassionate, serving, accepting. God is calling us to minister in ways that are honest, loving, respectful, and faithful. There it is, a vision, a mission for us. Church consultant and specialist Dr. Bob Dale says that in his book, To Dream Again, that there are two important things that every church needs to have. One of them is morale, and that's what we're doing in worship, in fellowship, in all that we do together to support and encourage each other. We build morale, retreats, and all kinds of events that we do together. But the other one is mission. And a church that has no mission but only morale is missing the joy of what it means to be the full body of Jesus Christ. Morale is peace. Mission is being sent and going. And you do that. And we need to continue to do that, but we also need to make sure that we keep these things in balance, how important that is. The third word is this: receive. Receive what? Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you feel a little out of breath. Maybe after all the events of this week, maybe it was a busy Easter week last week for you. If you're like I used to be after vacation, I used to look forward to coming back to the office so I could get some rest. My grandmother, Benfield, had a word that she often used. "How are you doing, Christine?" someone would ask. Oh, she'd say, "I'm just about give out. I'm just about give out." Well, she should have been. She had 11 children and 44 grandchildren. Who wouldn't be giving out? But she worried about every one of them. She was concerned about every one of them. And there were a lot of problems among 11 children and 44 grandchildren. Jesus comes to those of us who are just about given out of breath and spirit sometimes, and any desire to move beyond our closed rooms of fear. And he says, "Receive my spirit. Receive." And I can see him passing along in that room with the disciples, going to each of them and puffing, just like that, into their face, just puffing a breath and saying, in their gasp and surprise, "You're filled with my presence. You're filled with God. There's new life for those of you who are really, really tired and given out. New breath in the Spirit of God, which whispers, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on breathing. Keep on breathing in my spirit. Live again. Live again." Some time ago at Duke Hospital, I was in an interfaith discussion with it was a Pentecostal minister and a Methodist minister and a rabbi. It sounds like a joke, but it really was a panel. And there was no consensus exactly on the Spirit of God and what it means and all of those traditions. But there was the understanding among all of those differences that the presence of God, while doubted by many, is real and alive in all who seek to do God's will and to believe and put that into action. And so that assurance of the breath of God with us comes to us to revitalize us and renew us and give us hope where we thought there was none, and to give us energy when that energy has been depleted by the crises and events of life. And one final word he gives to them in verse 23, the word is forgiveness. How is it that we convey the forgiveness of God? How do we show others God's love and mercy? Jesus is reminding the disciples that because he's gone doesn't mean forgiveness is gone. But forgiveness is there among the body of believers, his living body, us, right now, today. And this word puts forgiveness squarely on earth. Someone has asked, are we so holy and divine that we're no earthly good? Jesus is reminding them that here is where forgiveness is. So what are we saying to those who are outside, to those sinners, the outcast? How is it that we who have received from Christ the authority that he exercised on this earth, how are we following through? How are we, the resurrected living body of Christ known as the church, what are we doing to flesh out our faith and to make sure that the love, mercy, and forgiveness of Jesus is alive and well? The final word of Easter is that our sins are forgiven. God in Christ has done that, and God in Christ shows us how to do that. So we must read this authority as both gift and responsibility. Yes, we do have that authority. We have been forgiven. As we have been forgiven, we must forgive others. That's not an option. Could it be that Jesus is saying, in this sometimes hard to interpret passage, that unless we are willing to accept his peace, be freed from sin, be freed from the fears, commit ourselves in service and mission, and live a lifestyle which is forgiving and punctuated freely with mercy, that we cannot truly accomplish the mission of his church. Along with the hope and grace of the resurrection is the responsibility and obedience that are so much a part of this resurrection story. It is my prayer as we embrace this story on this second Sunday of Easter, that you might move from any locked room where you are to the fullness of God's peace. That you might hear God calling and respond by going to whomever and wherever he leads you. And may you know that his Spirit is with you to guide you. And may you always remember the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, that you might forgive others their sins as your sins are also forgiven. Let us pray. Gracious God, grant that we might hear your words and heed them. In all the what-ifs of life, come again to our life with your peace, with your assurance, with your presence, that indeed we might be who you want us to be. Go where there is the need of our presence and our resources and our gifts. And teach us, O Lord, what it means to truly show love and mercy, to follow your ways, to practice your peace, as we love others, as we accept their love of us, and as we go about our mission, our work, our ministry. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We sing our hymn of response number 318. You may want to look in your hymnal, since this is new to some of us, and that will give you the notes as well as the words. It will also be on our screen, I believe, 318. I will be at the front to receive any who would come to profess your faith or to unite with this church. As God leads you, would you respond as we stand together and sing?